Magnify your great name. Oh God, we come at the time of the evening sacrifice. We lift up holy hands unto you, Lord. Let our praise, let our prayers come before you as sweet incense, oh God, this evening. This great royal priesthood in the end time, a prophetic priesthood of eating the book, dear God. Hallelujah! Oh God, and you've given access and dominion, Lord. Kings and priests, Father, in your great mighty courts this evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your great name, O God. This is your house of prayer. A spiritual house, Father. Oh, God, build up my lively stones this evening. A spiritual priesthood, O God. Offering spiritual sacrifices. The fruits of our lips. Giving praise and thanks unto you. A sweet savor of Christ. Coming up before you this evening, Lord. Glory be to God. Truly you are deserving. You are an awesome God. You are deserving of this, thou Lamb of God. Oh, thou King of Saints, Lord God Almighty. Worthy, 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 worthy. Blessed be your wonderful name this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, our God is an awesome God. You believe he's awesome? You know he's awesome? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've seen his awesome power in your own life. Amen. His awesome presence among the believers. Oh, thank you. you, Jesus. Let's give him a hand clap this evening. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, praise. Waited for thee in Zion, and unto thee shall the foul be performed. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, city of the living God. Hallelujah. Worship the King. Amen. He's a great King. Hallelujah. In our midst this evening. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, may ride in on our praises. Hallelujah. May do that which we have need of this evening. He promises to supply our every need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My. That's the way we want to start this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. We want to come in this court with praise and enter his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, that is house of prayer and praise. This great lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, can perfume this place with his divine presence. Amen. Oh, God, his great divine virtue can heal and deliver and save and revive and restore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, let's sing that one more time. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with empower. Love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome. Power and love, our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. May he reign in your life. Amen. May his word have supreme power, supreme control. Amen. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, we should bless you this evening. We're certainly thankful to be in his presence, to worship him. Have a seat. Trust you all feel fine this evening. Come in and desire to have prayer service this evening. You know, I just felt that in the middle of the week, you know, we just need to keep charge. Don't just wait for the weekend. Don't kind of go through the weekend, kind of weaken, you know, then look for everything in the weekend. Let's just keep the fire burning in the week. Amen. Just, it's wonderful. Keep the charge up. So in the middle of the week, when things kind of, you know, you look back at Sunday and you look forward to the next weekend, you can have some strength. Amen. You can keep pressing the battle by the grace of God. And you know, some things have been breaking in the world as we have been in the meetings, but then we don't want to just get caught up in just the preaching alone. We want to keep in the prayer, because that is why we come into this. And sometimes God breaks things to show us more of why we need to pray and how we can pray, and the quality of our prayer, what it should be and where our prayer should focus. And as the word breaks and we see these things and the desperation in our hearts to pray, we can pray effectually and fervently. Amen. Know what we pray about, and we can really pray with anticipations and see the presence of God come right down among us and just keep blessing us, because more and more as we see clearer what he's doing, the time we are living in, what the scriptures say, where we are posted, how the revelation is unfolding, and the light God is shining in places where we are seeing the light illuminating our minds and causing us to really move in the spirit and That's why, you know, Sunday just seemed like something just unusual happened right at the end of the meeting there. You know, you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, and, you know, just was about to call for prayer and asking people who want to come to the altar, and just felt led right there to pray, and praying right there, you know, you see the Holy Spirit just moved on suddenly, and it was strange, it was unique to see some of the people that God just drop and touch there, that is not you would say they're not saved, that need salvation. The Holy Spirit just arrest them like that, and you know, I look at that, I watch that, I saw the grace of God. Amen. Fathers praying, mothers praying, people praying for the children. Amen. Hardened young people in the world and everything else, and to see, you know, how the Holy Spirit can find the right place, the right time, the right moment coming down there to bring a release and open the prison doors and touch hearts, because sometimes, you know, people are in sin, they're crying out for God, they're crying out for deliverance. As the prophet himself, when he was sick, he said, I cried for healing both night and day. But then you come to that moment, faith wasn't forgotten. God answers back. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit has dropped down right there. And you know, that's the answer to prayer. That's the answer to prayer. And you can catch that. And that's encouraged you to keep praying. Don't give up. Pray and believe. And don't just pray, but expect. Make it a matter to pray about certain things. And a definite thing. You know, God, I'm seeking for this. And then you pray zeroed upon those things and see the Holy Spirit come and answer back. That's what you want to see. You know, sometimes we just kick out the prayer and we try to cover all the bases. But sometimes God wants to zero right on certain things. Move this and watch everything flow afterwards. Get this fixed and watch the Holy Spirit come right in afterwards and put things in place. Sometimes it's just those places. And when the Spirit can come right down and just take care of that. And sometimes God just do certain specific things. And but it explode among the people, amen. Because they see God on the scene. And that's what we desire, you know. And we are people, we want to be sensitive. We want to be close to Him. We want to get closer. And we just want to keep opening up more and more. Because, you know, we will find out how gracious He really is. He's a gracious God. He's a God rich in mercy. Amen. Nothing is too hard for Him to give to His children. Is that right? He have a reason and purpose how to do things, but nothing is too hard for Him to give to them. He challenges you, ask that your choice may be full. Amen. Then He come back in a prophet and say, don't drink spear only like the little fish in the Pacific Ocean. He said, you'll be foolish. You think you can exhaust the abundance of His supply? He's like a little rat in the grain. He said, Egypt, you want to take a grain a day? He said, eat your belly full. Amen. Ask God. Try Him and prove Him and see if He is not the Almighty God. He's not just a God. He is the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God, the God who can take care of every circumstance. And He know we read that in the Bible. He know we hear that preach, but He know we need to have that personalized. So He says, you ask me, do you believe I can do it for you? Do you believe I can do it for you? What about that situation? Can I do that? Amen. You hear the prophet many a times. He said, now how many have cancer? He said, you believe God can heal you from that cancer cell? You believe I can stand to it? What about you in that wheelchair? You believe God can do that for you? You really do it for other people? You believe God can do it for you? You stand, come to the wheelchair, throw them crutches away. Amen. He wants to make it personal for you. Amen. And faith catches that. Faith breaks into that place and say, oh God, I believe you, Papa. Amen. I know you're awesome. You're an awesome God. I sing about you being awesome, but I see you're awesome God. My God is an awesome God. Oh my. Blessed be His wonderful name. Oh my, Brother Franklin had a little dream yesterday. I wonder if you just want to come and share it quickly. I don't normally let people tell dreams in church, but I just feel that this was a right one. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. God gave him a couple of dreams before, and he just that this one was just some right to me too.
Praise the Lord. It was on the day before Holy Day, that's it. Day before Holy Day. I was just fellowshipping with, I was reading the Acts of the Apostles. I was doing that maybe for about over a week. I did that because I just wanted to familiarize myself again with what God did in the first church, and look at it in the way that we're supposed to be seeing that now in this church. And I finished that, the last chapter in Acts, I think it's the day before. All Year's Eve. Right, the day before. And then I felt led to go to the seals. And I read the first seal. And then I moved straight on to the seventh seal. And I find that was strange. Instead of reading right through the seal, I went straight to the seventh seal. And I reached a quote where the prophet said, "To be in heavenly places is a fearful thing." And that kind of jolted me, you know. And let me just say this as I say that. When I told Brother Vin that on the phone, I misquoted it. And I said, "Brother Vin, you know the part of the seals which says, to be in the body of Christ is a faithful thing. Remember where the prophet said that?" And he said, "Yes, I understand what you're saying, but that's not what it really said." He said, "What he really said is, those that are in heavenly places." I said, "Yes, that's true, that's true." Afterwards, I had a big laugh over it because I said, "Lord, look how straight that is. I misquoted that quote." And there the shepherd was right there. He said, "I know what you're talking about, but you really misquoting that. That's not how it's been said." Aren't we grateful to have a minister like that? Amen. You misquoted, he's going to tell you what it says. And then I said, "You know, Brother Vin, after I read that quote, to be in heavenly places is a fearful thing," I closed it and I started to think about that. I started to meditate how fearful that is. And then I fell asleep. That's the day before Holy Day. And had a dream. I dreamt I was walking in front of the tabernacle like that. And I looked in. This was kind of dark. So I couldn't recognize the faces of the people, but I see everybody sitting on there. And I was looking straight at the pulpit. And the whole pulpit here. It was a big wedding cake. If you see this wedding cake, boy. Real all across there was this big table with this cake. And Brother Vin was standing up right there behind it. So I'm looking up there and I said, "It's a wedding, boy. It's a wedding in the church today." Well, that's strange. And I keep looking at the cake because it was such a big cake, eh? And then I looked across there. And I saw the sisters coming down there. And I remember who I saw. The first one was Brother Stuart's daughter. The second one was Brother John's daughter. And they were leading all the sisters here coming out there, like to come back in the aisles here. And when I look, all the sisters had on wedding dress. So I looked at that and I found that was strange. All of them couldn't be getting married. They could be bridesmaids. So I'm looking at that with that consciousness and said, "But bridesmaids don't wear wedding dress." But everybody had on a wedding dress. And I'm looking at that. And I said, "That is strange." So I'm facing that way now, passing the door. And I said, "Oh boy, there's a wedding today." And a voice said behind me, I don't know if it's a brother, I don't know if it's the voice of God. The voice just said, "No, that is not the wedding. That's the rehearsal of the wedding." And then I woke up, then I called my family. I said, "Come and hear this. See what's going on in the tabernacle today." The voice said, "It's not the wedding. It's the rehearsal of the wedding." And that thing haunted me. I came all this night and I sat down there. And I kind of uneasy. I just uneasy. But even preaching down, I just uneasy. Because the dream was so vivid to me. It kind of scared me, even though it brought some kind of peace. It kind of scary. And then the next day, I got to call him and tell him. I said, "Boy, look what's going on." Not knowing that he was reading that same quote that I had read the day before and I fall asleep meditating on. And that is what the whole dream is about there. So God bless you.
Amen. I just thought I was fitting because it's very unusual, it's very symbolic, it's very timely. And what made it so outstanding, I had the quote in my message, Holy as Night. And the quote is really from Question and Answers in the Seals. Remember, Brother Branham was speaking about the pulse. And he said, "Just look what this little gift of healing has done, how it confused the church. Everybody had a sensation. Everybody had this. And right down in my heart, God knows the truth. I know it wasn't right because he told me so. See, but it's a false impersonation. It's only throw the people off." No, that's right. But you see, You can't say those things. Best to just leave it alone. And you remember the third Paul had said, don't tell nobody. What did I say was that? How many remembers that? Oh, sure, remember standing there trying to lace that eyelet in that little sheen division. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. And I said, this will be the third Paul and it will not be known. So help me by the grace of God. Now we are right down at the end time now. Won't be too long until mercy seat will be judgment seat. Why, if you see these things coming in and these people coming in, you better come in too if you're not already in. See? Now gathered in heavenly places. See, it also means more than just to be rejoicing. In heavenly places, if you are really assembling Christ, it's a fearful thing. Standing by that angel of the Lord, you think you'd just be shouting and screaming. That's not it. It scares you to death nearly. See? So you see there's a difference in just rejoicing and bubble dancing, which is all right, and then coming down to the real thing. See? See? There's where the fear, it's a fearful thing. Not that you fear that you are lost, but you are ready before angelic being and the Holy Ghost himself standing there. And, you know, the other quotes that goes with that, because all through the seals, when he was talking about the lamb stepping forward to take the book on the breach, and when the lamb stepped forward to take that book, it means mercy is running out. And then we struck that place there in the messages on prayer. When we hit Revelation 8 and the four horns of the golden altar, we keep repeating that, how the time of the offering of the prayers of all saints. And right after that, when that was done, the next thing, that angel filled that censer with coals of fire and scattered it on the earth. And then from there, we went back to Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, I pick up the same scene in the Old Testament for you. In Ezekiel 9, I was preaching there all year's night and showing the sealing and then the judgment coming in and the end of mercy, the end of intercession. And these things that is happening. And then quoting in there, but when the bridegroom comes, how those wise virgins, they rose up, trimmed the lamps, and they went in and the door was shut. And then the foolish ones who was called out, at the same time, the wise woke up. They all woke up together under the same message. And when they came there, the door was shut. And then there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Under the same message, didn't go in. And show how we had a time here. And when he told me that, this is what he was reading. Thinking about the early church. And that's what this whole last season has been about. This whole last year that has passed, about the book of Acts and seeing all those things that is to repeat itself, and the kind of faith that they walk in, the consciousness that the awareness that they live in, and the association with the unseen world that they walk in, and all these things. And you know how we took those messages, oneness of unity, one man of one accord, and all these things going back in the book of Acts and showing how they were and how they operated in the supernatural realm, how God led them, how God directed them. And with this in his heart, he's reading that, and then when he then reading this year, went in sleep and dreamed that dream, and then seen all these sisters and said, this is the rehearsal. And I believe that, you know, as we've been saying in these messages, it's a time here where we need to really recognize. And more, as with each passing day, you know, you watch the beginning of this year, how they had the headline there in the papers, the slaughtering of the innocents. That's what they call it. Only last night, when I was preaching there, you say, slay even little ones. Let not your eyes fear pity. And then I was referring to the crime in the country and all the things that's happening. And showing that these things, we are not Trinidadians looking at news. We are a people in this country where death is all around, darkness, chaos. People in a hideous condition. Something is happening. But look where the church has been posted. Look at the things being revealed to the believers. Then look at the outside and see. And then look at Sunday with the message coming in there following Old Year's Night, coming in there Sunday and picking back up that fourth seal and showing the things in the earth that has taken place in the earth. And that's why I believe in the time of prayer that we are in, how as a church we want to be sensitive. And I really appreciate you coming out tonight. I was wondering how much people is going to be here and how much people is going to be maybe thinking about school open and they have this and that. But we have to climb over some of these things now. We have to function as a people that who is aware that what God is speaking to us from the scripture. We're not just scratching around for a message. God is speaking to us over a year and a half in a definite place. From the time that things struck there, September 11, 2001, when the Holy Spirit come right down in the Word and has moved right into such a place and bringing the messages to us and showing us, and then kind of holding back and wondering, should I preach and what I preach on? But then in preaching on that, earlier tonight, the cleansing of the sanctuary and showing that, trying to give more sense to this time of prayer. Because you see, I'm a believer in the Word, and I didn't believe the Word beyond my own feelings. I don't know about how I feel. I go by what I see in the scripture. I go by what the scripture show me for the hour. And when I look and I see in the scripture, you know, because constantly when things reveal in the Word, you realize, you know, this thing is past. These things are past. The prophet said that 40 years ago. And he wasn't crazy. But that one same man in this generation was a prophet. God was talking to this man face to face. And when God spoke to this man, he went back in the Bible. And when he saw those things, he cried, he begged, he went in the wilderness without water. And some of you sitting here might read your book and they know what wilderness. And you get out of Arizona in the desert, see where he used to live and see where he used to go. You realize, wait up, this man is crazy. And then you see all Roberts and them out in restaurants and Billy Graham and them. And this man out there in the wilderness seeking God in desperation. If God will talk to me, I need something more. And then you realize, no. When this man came and preached, they couldn't understand that. And you put back on the tape and hear him screaming, crying, oh, I'm United States. How often must I gather the hand of gather brood? One of these days when 300 miles long fall, you know, 1,500 miles long, 300 miles wide fall, 40 miles into the ocean, you will know that God had warned you. Oh, Laodicea, Laodicea. You hear him crying out like that on the messages. Then you say, wait now. Was this really the end time prophet? Was that whether the Spirit of God or was this a man who woke up? Revelation don't woke up nobody. Revelation bring the mind of Christ in. This was not a man who woke up by emotion. This was a man standing watching the Bible, seeing a generation. Because you know why? You know it's true. What he say about them Pentecostals, right? You look where they are today. And what he says is going to happen, this message will go on the wool and pick up them like, look where it is today. And when he died in 1965, where was the churches? He had a couple in America right there in Jeffersonville. That was about it. But look what came up around the world. Look at this church here tonight. This church here is known around the world on every continent. Think of it. This church here is known in every continent. Its influence is felt in Moscow, in Australia, but out in India, out in Africa. The influence in this church here. Out in Central America, from Mexico, all the way to Chile, they know about this church here. And so we know of many churches too like this. Whether it's in Africa with Jerry Mandem, whether it's down in Mexico with those brothers, whether down in Central America, whether it's up in New Zealand with Brother Malcolm and them, so we know our churches too. The same way like this, I believe. Walk in this message, call of God in this hour. Why? Because God has raised up people under this message by the voice of a prophet standing near the pillar of fire, the Logos, coming upon this man. And not only that, but this man fitted in the Bible. This man's place was in the Bible. He would just be a man if he didn't go in the Bible and show which voice that was. That wasn't the voice of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth angel. That was the voice of the seventh angel when he began to sing the mystery finished. When he stands in there, Jesus Christ comes down. Is that right? He puts a people under blood like Noah, like Moses. He put a people in the ark like Noah, like Jesus. He got a people sealed up in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what he came for. Then when we come to the Word, friends, and we begin to wake up and see things in the Scripture, we realize, Lord, what is happening? And then look at the events in the earth. And we don't hear people talk about it. You turn on the radio, you don't hear it. You hear preachers on radio and television, hundreds of them. But you don't hear them talking the things we talk in this church here. You don't hear it. You know why? Because they are out in another age. They get sucked back in that age because they didn't walk into this age receiving this prophet. And no way to come out of the Lord is outside of this prophet. But when you receive that prophet, you come into this place to see the breaking of these things. And the things that we are seeing, friends, is not just things about little truth and little truth. It's a thing that shows us the hour. Look where it's coming up to. And then a message coming in the cleansing of the sanctuary. How on earth did we know he's going to come into all them places? I remember back there after September 11th, I came to church. I said, God is saying, get your church in order. Set the meetings and sit over and over and over. You think I know I'm going to be preaching these things here afterwards? No. I'm saying that on the basis of what is coming there, what I'm seeing, and what the Spirit is speaking in my heart as a watchman over these people. Even in the book of Samuel, you think I know I was going to come into the two altars, the tabernacle, the fountain, the golden altar? You think I know I was going to say prayer? I mean, how can I know that? But the guide, the Spirit of truth passes you into all truth. And what does the truth do when it's revealed? When it's made known? It shall make you free. Deliverance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty, emancipation. Is that right? The entrance of His Word brings light, illumination. A lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway. You know how to walk. You know what God is fixing to do. So that's why when I hear a dream like that, I tell myself that I needed to hear something like that at this time. Because I believe if I'm preaching that, God must witness something somewhere. You can't dream a dream. How much of us can remember a dream you dreamed that same night? And I sure am going to hear 90% of you here would have dreamed that night too. We'd have dreamed of some nonsense in your mind or some hamburger or some other something here, but somebody dreamed of the church, or the bribe, somebody went to sleep there, fall asleep there with being in heavenly places, a fearful thing. We come to that third pole where mercy seat become judgment seat. Come into the meeting, burning up with that. Want to testify. And I come to preach a cleansing of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. See what I'm talking about? Then when I saw Sunday, I watched the Holy Spirit struck by the Stuart son boy right there. I said, oh, how about a Stuart heart must rejoice to see that boy run up here and I wasn't there weeping and crying. That boy, you can't even get that boy sometimes to pay a little attention. But he don't even belong to church sometimes. I just see that. You know what I'm saying? Sovereignly. What kind of message being preached is, you know, it's strange. These sisters here, Sister Simona praying for her husband, bring him to church. But you're talking about a man who is close to being an infidel that the prophet met. I don't say to degrade the man. This is right there. She knows. And the man wanted to be baptized. And you know, he said, leave him alone. Let's see if it's real what's happened to him. Let's see. Let's see. Let God deal with him. Let's not let him jump on that. Because even this, you want to be sane. Because you know God has to do these things. It's the sovereignty of God. Friends, the only way is to believe where you're walking. To believe what's happening. To have faith. To have an expectation as a believer walking in the Word. What time is it, sirs? Think of it. And then God brings us to the place of prayer. If you're just going to pray and pray and pray and do nothing, something will happen here. Something will happen here. Something is going to happen here.
keeping us at Mishpah so something could happen here. What is going to happen here? We'll have an Ebenezer. That is what will happen here. We'll have an Ebenezer. What is that? We will possess back what the devil robbed us from. Because that's a promise of this hour. We'll pour out the water. Amen. We'll offer the burnt sacrifice. We have purpose to offer it. Amen. To repent and take away our idols and pull it down and come back to God in fellowship, in union. That's what we come here for. And to make sure God, we didn't come and pray some wild fanatical prayers. For the time we hit there and God said, pray, God come down and answer that, tell us when you come to pray. It's daily ministration. It's priests. It's incense. It's sacrifice. It's this approach. Is that right? God didn't just say, go and pray and pray and pray. Everybody pray how they want to pray. No, no. God, stop it. And come on and say, the house of prayer is where it's built. Start to put it in the word. Start to put the altar in the word. Show us at the evening sacrifice when it's over. That's the time of prayer. To know everything is in that sacrifice. Every redemptive blessing is in that atonement that has been restored back. And then to go in the Bible and find in the parable that Jesus tells, in the book of Revelation, in the symbol, in the Old Testament, down the shadow with Ezra and Elijah. And all of them coming down through the Old Testament, over with Zechariah in the New Testament, showing that this is all through the Bible. It had to come an hour like this. Because this hour, there is to be a praying church. A praying church will be a spiritual church. And a spiritual church will be a praying church. And a praying church will come into being spiritual if they're not spiritual. Any church that claimed to be spirit-filled would be a praying church. Is that right? And that's why we want to do these things consciously, with faith, believing, believing. When you come, you remember how he instructed. When the priest comes, he approaches God. He's called and chosen to do that. You have a right to come. He's coming because of the sacrifice. He's coming because of being washed and cleansed and anointed. He's coming to minister now to God. We are not praying and asking God. We are ministering to God. We are under the influence of the heavenly administration that's been reflected out here on earth. That's right. Let's stand to our feet. Let's take a scripture quickly. Luke 21, I would like to read. Verse 25. Jesus teaching. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. He takes up nature. Men's hearts failing them for fear, showing the great heart attack age, the prophet says, quoting that scripture. That's this age. He said, more heart attack. He said, notice men's hearts. He said the heart attack rate, even back in his time there, was higher in men than women. He said, watch the accuracy of the Bible. And looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Scientists is already predicting meteoric showers and all these things that used to happen. Stars will fall from heaven, which is done with meteors. Going to throw this earth into chaos. Asteroids and all the things. Jesus spoke that 2,000 years ago. Science say it will happen. Amen. Amen. And a prophet there say, sixth seal of disturbance in nature. Yes, judgment seal. Think of it, friends. And then shall you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. for your redemption through it now. Because that coming of the Son of Man in an age where the earth is in birth pains between the second woe and the third woe, you're already at woe, throwing nature into chaos. Amen. But this world is again falling apart. The ocean law are tearing up. The seas dying. Nature groaning and travailing, already in convulsions. And we see one like the Son of Man come up with the title deed. And God in this church, under those seven trumpets, open those things. Think of it. And he said unto them a parable. Spoke unto them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Fig trees, Israel, all the trees of Gentile nations. When they now shoot forth, we see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So you understand what he's teaching? He's giving them end time signs. He's giving them signs in nature. He's giving them signs of this, of his coming. He's giving them signs, national signs of Israel in the homeland. He's pointing out how you will know how close his coming is. All these things we see breaking already. You see Israel in the homeland? How many years now? Since 1948, there was a nation. 1946, when the flood, 6-point star, same day, same hour, the angel of God appeared in Green Mills, Indiana, and said, go up now. Why? Because all other trees must begin to have a revival. Gentile nations, because why? Israel is reviving. Is that right? He said, when you see it, look up and lift up your head of your redemption through it now. Then he goes, no national sign, Israel. So also when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verse 28, your redemption draw it now. Verse 31, the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And after he gave them all these end time signs and showed them how close it is, even like the doors, it is nigh at hand. And he said, now, and take heed to yourselves. You who see these things, take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For like a snare, a trap, shall it come on all them that shall dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's a snare of global magnitude. It's a snare upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. And we see these signs and we are dwelling upon the face of the earth. And he said, you take heed. Watch you therefore and pray always. Why? Why, Jesus? Why? You mean the hour when the Son of Man coming is a time the church should be in prayer? Luke 18, he had already taught men ought to pray always and not faint when you see the Son of Man coming. Luke 21, he's still preaching on the coming of the Son of Man and the church in prayer. Praying always. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. That's the rapture. Worthy that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Like them wise virgins when the door was shut. And then when that coal of fire hit the earth, then intercession was over, and he that was 30 was 50 still. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said, that's a rehearsal. We just rehearsed the day before the wedding in this church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You get what I'm saying? Amen. And this isn't no more kind of rehearsal, this kind of rehearsal, everybody is in the wedding garment. How many of the wedding garments is the Holy Spirit? How many of the bride is dressed in the beautiful gown of the promised word? marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made herself ready. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. May the Lord bless you to his word. You may have a seat. We're getting ready to pray. Just want to speak a few words here. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Take that for a little subject here. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Look at Jesus in another parable, put in prayer. And this is one of the things I've been striking in the last few services to let you see. We're not just talking about getting people to pray. This is praying with after you receive a revelation of that Son of Man coming a cloud. Of nature going into convulsions, of the victory of his nigh at the door. After you get a revelation of these things and you see the world hearts are being overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, make sure you in the midst of the world don't get swept into that tide and carried away in that current. Enoch lived in an evil age. But Enoch walked with God and was not. And to walk with God took your walk together, agreed. So Enoch had to separate from the world to come into union with God, to come into agreement with God, to walk with God, to come into a rapture in faith. And then Jesus is showing that snare will come upon the whole world. And that snare means a snare. Like which is used to catch birds. And how that type of snare is a trap that closes suddenly and unexpectedly upon them when they are caught. It is laid in such a way that is unsuspecting to them. And when they come into it, it snares them and the trap comes down suddenly, unexpectedly. And that is what Jesus is speaking about. There's something that is going to be laid upon this whole world. It's going to take them so unexpectedly, the whole world. That when the rapture takes place and the tribulation begins to fall, they'll say, wasn't this supposed to be a rapture? It's already gone and they didn't know it. The prophet tells us it'll pass right through the people. They'll never even know it. He said, like it was with John. He said, Elias must first come. He said, you already come and you've done unto him whatsoever you listed. So here we are talking about something that the world will know nothing about. Why? Because they are blind. But light has come to us. Come and buy eyes salve that you'll see. And what the light shines and shows to us is how this Antichrist spirit is working in such deceit, the deceivableness of all unrighteousness, and how the God of this world are blinding the minds of the people and is taking them into a trap. But the elect has the seven seals open. An end time prophet opened the seven seals for light to shine and uncovers the scheme of the enemy that we can see what he is doing. And Jesus is putting prayer here. Prayer is the means that he has appointed. That our hearts wouldn't become overcharged with these things of this life. Because the system is designed in such a way to bring a pressure on the people that make them feel they have to have this and they have to have that and they have to have that. And they start to get taken up with the cares of this life. And they whom the Son of Man planted the seed in, the cares of life begin to choke the seed. Yes. And they can't bring forth fruit unto perfection. Yes. Is there a seed planted in us? Yes. Is there a fruit unto perfection that is to come forth? Yes. Bringing forth that fruit with patience unto perfection. When the seed of promise finds a place to grow, is that right? Yes. But in teaching that, he says the cares of this life is going to choke that thing. And in many who receive that seed, who receive that message, who sit under the teaching of the Son of Man, who that word is planted in, that word will not bring forth after its kind unto perfection. It will not bring perfect fruit. Because what is happening is like a snare. A snare is laid by a trapper to trap an unsuspecting prey. Jesus, in describing the end time, that's why sometimes you wonder, how will the whole world be deceived? You mean, how are all the churches going to that? It's a trap laid. It's a trap laid to trap them into it. It's cunningly devised. It is designed to be unsuspecting to them. That they think is security. They think it's not going to be harmful to them. They think, it's something that is beneficial to them. But the whole system, as I've been showing you Sunday in the message, the system is set up to keep the people in debt, in a condition, under pressure, to throw them. We preach all the message on the debt trap, how the creditor had the system so set up to take the woman children into bondage. The only thing that freed her from that trap was the prophetic word teaching her how to work with the oil. And you tell me outside a word teaching to work with the Holy Ghost is no way can escape this trap. Is that right? Because our temptation is going to come upon the whole world. And Jesus didn't teach them how to come in here. He links the prayer here to those who are counted worthy to escape. He links praying always to those who are going to get out of this. And the last couple of messages, the Holy Spirit taking the word and showing us the hour we have come down to. And we are finding out Jesus bringing out this prayer. It's in the hour of his coming. Turn with me quickly to Mark 13. And now let's read Luke 12. Luke 12, 35. Quickly with that. Let your loins be girded about. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians 6, your loins girded with truth. Like how it was in Egypt, the loins is girded and the staff in the hand. It's a sign of readiness. And your lamps burning. Let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. That means you have to keep them trimmed. How many of that is one of the duties of the priests? They had to trim the lamps the same time they were offering the incense. That was the daily ministration. Every day they had to trim the lamps. Every day they have to offer the incense. Every day they have to offer the sacrifice. Because why? The word is a lamp unto your feet. If that lamp get all smutty and can't reflect that light properly, and that lamp go out like Eli had the lamp going out. See? It threw you in darkness. And you yourselves like men that wait for their Lord. And you yourselves like men that wait for their Lord. When he will return. We are waiting for our Lord when he will return. From the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. When he knocketh, they will open immediately. Because why? They are watching and waiting. They are under expectations for his return. So you have to knock and shake the house and grow by the window and knock a window and knock the back door, throw a stone on the roof. No, no. From the time we knock, they open immediately. Because they like men that wait for their Lord. Jesus painted a picture long ago when in the Eastern time when they had a wedding and somebody go to a wedding. It depends on the size of the wedding. It depends on the person who giving that wedding, how many days of rejoicing they're going to have. If it's a rich man, they have a few days of feasting. If it's a poor man, he can't put a lot of things to eat and drink. And you have sort of family coming from far, well, then the wedding lasts a day. So it was a time that it could be 1 day, 3-4 days, it could be anything. So he's showing the readiness and the expectation of servants who know the master could come. And so they can't tell exactly when he's going to come. So they are watching and they are waiting constantly. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to eat, and will comfort and serve them. They who was faithful in watching, they who didn't fall asleep, they who was not dilatory, they who stayed on the expectations, their faithfulness and their responsibility towards their master, when he comes and he finds them in readiness, prepared, expecting him, he is going to put them to sit down. He is going to come and be the servant to serve them afterwards. Is that what it says in the marriage supper? When he comes, he's going to come out and serve us, where we all are seated on that great table, where all things are ready for us. The Lamb will come out and minister to us. Sure. And if he shall come in the second watch, there were four watches. You know that? From 6 to 9 was the first watch. From 9 to 12 was the second watch. That is in the night time. 6 in the evening to 9 was the first watch. Then 9 to 12 was the second watch. Then 12 to 3 was the third watch. Then 3 to 6 was the fourth watch. And he's saying now, if he shall come the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Because when you shall get from 9 to 12, and especially from 12 to 3, that's when you're real sleepy. That's when you're real, it's hard to stay up. That's when it just seems like you want to let go of the strain and just give in to the pressures and fall asleep. But if you could come and find him, even giving priority to his coming, his return, and staying in watchfulness, knowing that he is coming, expecting them to be up, waiting for him, in readiness for his return, and they should be in expectation, knowing he could come at any time. Well, there's a time when they could still, watch up from 9 to 12 and maybe hold out, or even when they get real hard after 12, they can still hold up.
Yes, sir.
And thus know that if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered or permitted his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. He is teaching about his coming. His coming is that seventh seal.
Yes.
And when he's coming, his church, he is teaching them there have been readiness. He showed them the end time signs. In Nathia, he showed them the Son of Man coming in a cloud, 27 miles high, 30 miles wide. He said, they should be praying always, because at that time, he said, the trap is being set. That's why when he come and open those seals, when he descended on him with a shout, and they shout, open those seals, seven thunders of the voices, the revelations contained in the seven seals. What did it do? It uncovered the scheme of the enemy. It can cover what this plan is. It's a uniting time and sign. And that fourth seal, where he's uniting the world. What for? To be enthroned as God. To bring it to a place where he's going to rule the whole world. But before that can happen, the Lord comes and seven down to his voices and say, come out of her. Run for your life. Flee Babylon.
Yes, sir.
Escape that thing. Why? A people in prayer. Prayer is going to be the thing that's going to help us become sensitive. Prayer is good, and watchfulness is the thing that's going to put us in readiness so God can communicate and continue and keep communicating to us the things we need to know and how to move in that hour. Because the church in that hour will be a watching church and a praying church. Luke 18, the same thing. I wouldn't go back and read that one. men ought always to pray always and not faint. Go when the Lord cometh, you'll avenge him speedily. Matthew 24. Now in doing this, what I am doing, the purpose I'm doing this, is that you will see it's a prophetic hour of prayer. Not just pray. Praying in relation to his coming. Praying in relation to the church who is to finish the ministry. Praying in relation to the church will be filled with spirit in union with him. The lamps burning, the loins girded. You know Matthew 24 is the seven seals. Is that right? You open six and then you come to the seventh one here. And that seventh one is Revelation 8. Silence in heaven, nothing is given away. And here the Holy Spirit is opening those things and showing to us.
Yes, sir.
From verse 32 to 35, he's again speaking of the fig tree. He's again speaking of the fig tree like we had in Luke 21. In verse 30 and 31, he's speaking about that seventh trumpet. When the Son of Man comes in the clouds, how he'll come to Israel there. It was that type of us. Luke 21 shows he's coming to us here. This one shows he's coming to Israel there. Same thing. We want to get from verse 36. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The rapture will be a revelation only for the bride. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Then you will have to believe what he revealed to you. Because only for the elect.
Yes, sir.
Those who are foreordained to go in the rapture, the Holy Spirit will come down and quicken them and make them alive. Quickening power will quicken their mind to the promise. Will show them the hour. That's why what is being revealed to you when it comes out to the word and you know that's the word, you see the Bible made plain and you see you are called as an elect unto that, it puts you in the momentum. You don't say, well, I see everybody still relaxed, so maybe it's early time. No, no, no. You ain't going back there. God is talking to you. God is talking to you. It's for the elect. Abraham wasn't watching and see who ain't ready. Abraham, no, he was ready. He was already out. Because he was following that since Genesis 12 when God called him out. Genesis 15 when God confirmed the covenant. Genesis 17 when God gave him a new name and revealed the El Shaddai. He was following an experience step by step by step, walking into that very promise. He was expecting that visitation. He was in the tent door waiting for the appearing. Is that right? And he was in a spirit of prayer when he got the revelation the judge of all the earth was there. He could intercede. Is that right? In the coming. So what is your type? What is your prophecy? What is your parable? What is the symbol in the book of Revelation? We are proving that that's this hour. Is that this hour? Is this the coming? Then there's a praying church here. Who stay praying, whether it comes to the second watch, third watch, fourth, who stay there? Why? Because the lamps are trimmed. Why? They know that stand. They are that church.
Yes,
man. But as the days of Noah were. But as the days of Noah were. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember, we went through this thoroughly, clinically,
yes,
on the ark, the rain, and the dove.
Yes.
No man know, but Noah and his group knew when that door was shut.
Yes.
Noah and his group knew mercy was turning to judgment when God put them in that place. Is that right?
Yes.
Then they could only look up through the door, the window. Is that right? Look up and lift up your head then. Church, have your thinking filtered. These things is designed to filter your thinking. To put your mind in the channel. But as in the days that were before the flood, like before the judgment, before the doors closed. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, that's the time when the door shut.
Amen.
It progresses. It progresses. One time, Noah is outside the ark. Next time, Noah is shut in the ark.
Amen.
God moved the position of the elect. You getting that? And Noah could look where he was positionally now and know I'm in here now and not out here. He knows a change in the ministry. Is that right? He knows a big change. And knew not until the okay, for as it was in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they knew not that Noah entered into the ark. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came. They didn't know, but Noah knew. Because when God moved Noah, Noah knew that it's shut. Noah alone knew. And took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This coming shall be so. You know, we have a kind of way to say, as we were there, Noah, boy, they eat and drink. When you talk that part of it, Jesus talk another part here. Jesus talk a part when Noah goes in and the door shut. And mercy seat became judgment seat. And intercession was over. And he that was filthy was filthy still. But only Noah knew that. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, you have to know. You have to know. Because the world knew not. The world knew not. But he said, you will know. When you see the fig tree, you know summer is now. When you see these things, you know it's even at the doors. As the days of Noah was, no man. So no man, he said, that day and that hour, no man. But as the days of Noah was, the world didn't know, but Noah knew. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know your Lord going to come. But what you don't know is the time. The day or the hour. So that's why readiness, preparation, expectation, watching, praying. You have to know. Because the world knew not. The world knew not. But he said, you will know. When you see the fig tree, you know summer is now. When you see these things, you know it's even at the doors. As the days of Noah was, no man. So no man, he said, that day and that hour, no man. But as the days of Noah was, the world didn't know, but Noah knew. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know your Lord going to come. But what you don't know is the time. The day or the hour. So that's why readiness, preparation, expectation, watching, praying. Because that is the atmosphere you have to be for it to come to you. It's something for you and not the world. Jesus, after the resurrection, was not appearing to the world. He was appearing to the elect. Is that right? He was opening the understanding to the elect. Who was about to receive the promise. Believers have to come to a place to know God is not dealing with the world, he's dealing with them. And they have to expect got to undergo before God. And they declare and they don't understand. They say, Father, you said so in your word. Father, you said as it is in Noah. Father, you said the time is going to come. Father, you said you're going to make it known. The world will not see, but we will see you. You'll come to us and manifest yourself to us. Lord, I am one of them. I want to know. I want to be certain, dear God. I am concerned. I want to be ready, Father. I want to have my lamp trimmed. I don't want to be on the outside. Lord, I want to be on the inside. And I'm taking this, Lord, seriously. Lord, I want to dedicate my life to your service. Lord, you said, son, son, you are a God that keeps your word. Lord, you have never failed to keep your word. And you said these things to oppose us. You said these things to show us how to pray. And you said that there will be a praying church in that hour that you will come to. You take him at his word, friends. I have given you the word here. Let you see why he said it. And then you take it from him as a serious believer. Knowing he said that heaven will pass away, but this can't pass away. But know this, that if the householder had known in what watch the thief would come, and he will come as a thief, like Romeo stole Juliet, is that right? He will steal his bride away. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in two. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? For in an hour when you think not, it'll come like a sneer upon the face of the world. But pray always that you will be accounted worthy. Jesus makes plain that in this hour, prayer is an absolute necessity for our preparation. To our state of readiness, to be ready at his coming, there must be watchfulness. What are we watching for? He gave us signs in the earth. By a message, he shows there's going to be an ecumenical move. He shows between the ecumenical move, religion, politics, and demon power being gathered together, and before the destruction of Ahab, my car was catching a vision. He shows before, in the days after Jeremiah, before the destruction of Jerusalem, before that fire scattered there, the sealing angel went forth. He shows where Ezekiel and them eat the book and they have to prophesy. Why? Because God in that hour, a ministry went forth, brother, to prophesy and bring judgment to that nation that had turned down Jeremiah's message. That Babylonian power, God began to show to him exactly, precisely, that look, intercession is coming to an end and judgment is going to fall and that city will be destroyed. Look how Sunday we took those four seals and those four powers and the judgment, how it is breaking in the earth until that door had to swing shut. And look how a priest who had eaten the book. And to think we come in even before all that, we're going to preach at the priesthood in the house of prayer. And then talk about the priest from Leviticus. And then boom, it drops over in Ezekiel. And here's priests that eat the book.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Amen. And brings it to this hour when them four powers devour in the earth, breaking it up. To show the accuracy of the scriptures. And Jesus said that you may be accounted worthy to escape. And I was thinking about that. What it is to be accounted worthy to escape. Everybody want to escape. Everybody have a desire to escape. Nobody wants to be caught in that judgment. But you have to be accounted worthy to escape. There's a way of escape made for us. There's conditions and there's responsibilities given to us if we have to escape. It's not just about not being in the judgment. Even the parables, those who went to get oil, they came back and they found themselves in the judgment because the doors were shut during that time because it was the wrong time to go looking for oil. That was people who sat down all them years without the Holy Ghost and tried to get desperate and get the Holy Ghost in an hour where it was too late to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's all in the book. That's a man trying to come in the robe, brother, when he said, give him out. And he had his ox to prove, he had his land to plow, he had every different things to do, and he put that off. And when those things backfire, he tried to come and he had no robe. So he tried to come in a way that wasn't provided to come in. And then the one who was checking the robe, because he wasn't going to let you get in there without that robe. You need that robe to get in there. And when he come in that robe checking mission, he said, friend, how are you coming here without the robe? Where are you going to go in this condition? You think it's BB going to carry it there? He said, throw this, bind this man hand and foot and put him back out where he really belongs. You see, it's an hour we've come to. That's why, as a church, let these things sink in our hearts. Let's mix this word with faith. This is sober. I'm not trying to work you. If you believe in trying to frighten us, go back in 1964 until Paul was trying to frighten the people 40 years ago. You mean that 40 years ago, God stood in Tommy and folded his hand? You think that God didn't know all these years? Where's the whole land? You see what's happening? In the land? Around you? You see what's happening in the world? The Holy Spirit has brothers just put up them boards out there to keep you abreast with the news. The word has come and pick them things and put it back in the scripture to post you to see in the plan for the age, the position of the nations, the position of the church, the worldly church, the spiritual church and its condition. To show us the unfulfilled part of the world, what our experience, our expectation ought to be, then right among us when God is breaking the world and bringing experiences by the word to show where those things fit in the Bible. Then what condition ought we to be? The stand of it. Let's offer our sacrifice. Let's trim our lamps. The priest had to trim the lamps in the tabernacle. Is the lamp in your tabernacle trimmed? Is the light reflected? That Shekinah? There were 7 lamps of fire before the throne. Burning. In the heavenly sanctuary. In the earthly sanctuary, there are 7 lamps of fire before the throne also. Reflecting from the Shekinah into the laver, into the congregation. It couldn't reflect if it wasn't trimmed properly. It had to be trimmed every day. It had to be fed with oil continually so it don't go out. That bowl had to be kept filled so the oil don't drain down and they have nothing for it to burn. If you have fire and your fire ain't coming from the golden olive oil beat, he was that olive tree. He was crushed and beaten to get that olive oil. And out that olive oil was used to keep the lamps burning. And those lamps represented his church. It was the life in him, the Holy Spirit, that came back. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. It was his life that burned through the apostles. No man lighted a lamp and put it on that bushel, but on a lampstand to give light. They become the light of the world in that hour. The incense that they offer has been offered because they know the sacrifice is already offered. Are we trying to offer incense and we haven't offered ourselves a living sacrifice? Are we trying to pray and ask God for all kinds of things and we haven't surrendered our life to God and give it up completely? It just shows how sometimes the reason people can't make the progress that they ought to, the first thing they have to do is offer the sacrifice. We took that little message here on Sunday, a sweet savor of Christ. Paul said, I die daily. He offered the sacrifice daily. Every day he offered himself. Every day he prayed continually. Every day he kept that lamp trimmed. As a lampstand, he was giving light to the church. And the candlestick in the first age. Here in the coming of the Lord, even that incense on that altar, it was a sweet incense. It was a pure incense. It was a holy incense. It was a perfume. It was a perpetual incense. Our prayer must be a sweet prayer. A sweet prayer before God is a prayer that is according to His word. It's someone that is approaching Him according to the provided way He ordained for us to approach Him. Why would we want to approach Him any other way? The words are coming boldness. You know why? You can come in boldness when you're coming by the new and living way. And you know what is new and living way? Through His blood. Having faith in what He has done. That's what gives you the boldness to come in. If you're trying to come in boldness, which is confidence, you're trying to be confident. What is the ground of that confidence? What makes you confident? You know you're coming the way He provides for you to come upon the basis which He tells you to come. That's why He waits and He listens for the priest coming. And He hears the bell. And He hears the pomegranate ringing, holy, holy. And the priest is coming with blood. And God knows He's going to have an audience there. That priest in the Day of Atonement know he's going to have an audience with God. Know you're going to have an audience with Him. Because you're not going to be asking of vain things. You see, tonight, He tells us we have to be in that condition. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Why are we coming to prayer tonight? To be accounted worthy to escape. Why are we thinking about escape? Because we see, when we come to this hour, as it's been identified the word to us, it's a fearful time. And it's a fearful time. 1963, when the seals was breaking the church, for 2,000 years they waited for that. The most sublime act in the Bible, John wept. All creation groaned, waiting for that hour. And here it was happening right there, and nobody knew. And while that was happening, he so understood, he said, it won't be long now until mercy seat becomes judgment seat. Because in this age, under this message, we come to the cleansing of the sanctuary. And that's where the Holy Spirit has brought us back around in this season. And you watch and see. 2001, the Ark, the Wind, and the Dove. 2001, September 11th, the Two Towers fell. 2000. And 2:00, spiritual astronauts. Get the church in order. Get in faith. 2003, the cleansing of the sanctuary. Look over here. Look what's happening to the world. They're going for another war game. Can you see what's happening? Revelation 13. You see that beast? You see the attitude of that beast? Is that alarm? That's alarm that dictates the whole world? An alarm, friend. That's the voice of the dragon.
Yes, sir.
But why is it coming out from alarm?
Amen.
Do we have revelation to see? Have we been forewarned? How did that lamb get that nature? That's not the nature of a lamb. Did they reject that message?
Yes, sir.
Have they become demon possessed?
Yes, sir.
Does rejection the word because of the devil become incarnate? Is there a bride who believes the word makes a way for the Holy Ghost to become incarnate too?
Yes, sir.
She's have the voice of an archangel?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Amen.
Was the ecclesiastical spirit loose to gather them together? Was the Holy Ghost loose to gather the bride together?
Yes.
Are they being formed in the image of the beast? Is the bride being formed in the image of the word?
Hallelujah.
God spoke them things back in 82.
Yes, sir.
Look where that is in the year 2003, friends. The world going on like normal? It gets worse than this. Wouldn't it be tribulation?
Amen.
You get worse than this? When you have a prime minister sitting and talking with criminals,
amen,
and trying to make truce,
amen.
But don't you see?
Amen.
When you have a president with homosexual the other day, celebrating a big occasion, prime minister, with criminals, president homosexual?
Yes, sir.
The bride better be with Jesus. The bride better be with Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
It's the grace of God, friends.
The grace of God.
You believe that nothing happens. Remember, it can't get worse unless comes from the sanctuary.
Yes.
The sanctuary will determine mercy or judgment in a place. The sanctuary. Which sanctuary? Is one in heaven? Is one here too? You know that?
Amen.
Is the bride God's sanctuary? How many of the three thrones? In heaven, in Christ, in the church.
Amen.
Is a throne of mercy in the bride today?
Amen.
She stands with the living dead?
Yes, sir.
Does she know out of her going to come tempers and voices? We read that in the Bible. I'm talking about realization in your mind. When the prophet saw and trod that rock, did he know what he was doing? Was he conscious what he had come to? Was he doing that by revelation? Did he check his inspiration in the Bible? Did he see that came at a certain junction in the ministry? In a certain condition in the church world, their attitude towards him and the message which was in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Let God come in. Let him fail.
Yes.
Let him fail. Let him come close. You can make that happen. Your faith can draw him near. Your expectation can draw him near. Pray always after you see these things in the earth, in the skies, in the nations, that you will be accounted worthy to escape. You see the cloud? You see nature taking a tumble? You see this world falling apart? You see the trumpets break and identify them things? You see Israel in the homeland here all these years? You see the church in Laodicea? You see the world in Sodom? What for? But that's the necessity to receive from him. You could be accounted worthy to come out. That's the condition that he put with the rapture. All the problems of his coming, watch and pray, watch and pray. Because by the bride, he deserves ready. They that were ready went to meet the bridegroom.
Amen.
They that were watching, when the master came, they opened the door. They were like, stand on the door and knock. Hear my voice. Come in, I'll come and sup with you. Has he come? Is he supping with you? How much do you believe the Bible? You're a Bible person? you are part of His will. You believe you're manifested in this hour? No other way to serve God that way is. Outside has been packed, so you can be called and be an ABC. That's where a Holy Ghost person, they know they are part of the world. They are walking in that world. They know God will keep every word. They, when they talk to God, they say, Abba Father. Lord, you are the one that sent the prophet. You are the one that can drop the rock. You are the one that turned the cloud. You are the one that tell the priest hand the book that day. You are the one that caught the Bible, paste the stick. You are the one that opened up things that are to be. You are the one that revealed the mystery of the rapture to take the church away. You are the one that revealed leadership. The pillar of fire going to lead us to that theophany. You are the one that opened these things. And here we are in the year 2003. Oh God, we see in our nation what's happening. We see the highest authorities in the land. We see the condition. We hear the trumpet sound in our midst. Things we've been posted on for years becoming clear and breaking with greater reality. Oh God, we want to see ourselves in that condition, in that readiness. Our family is not in. Your family is not in. We have people in this region that's yet to be called. We have those that is called that is yet to be established and rooted and grounded and grow strong. The person in St. Vincent called me and says, it's 2 years we have seen the star. He said, we've been preaching the church this year in December. It was 2 years since we saw the star. It thrilled my heart. You hear that language?
Yes, sir.
Hear what they're talking? Leave us in ignorance, but He's shining His light, showing us the way. What a grateful people we are. Sweep over my spirit. Sweep over my spirit forever. In the Father's presence, I'll sing with you in peace, peace. You just find your own altar, make your own little place, and you see you're gonna come far wherever you choose. Let us really enter for the next few minutes. Coming down, keeping in remembrance what they've been speaking to us. Anointing our hearts out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth speaking. Praying according to the word, mixing the incense, seeing the experience. Sweep up. We must be ready. We must be in condition. He wants to move us into that place. He desires to move us in that place. We want to yield. We want to surrender. We want to open our hearts and let Him lead us. We want to remove every hindrance. We want to search our lives. Get the broom and the candle and sweep the house. Sweep for my soul. Oh, let this great Holy Spirit just sweep over your soul tonight. For my the sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete. My rest is complete while I see the light. Heavenly dove, just cool to my heart tonight, sweet woman, soul. Oh.